This is WKOK Sunrise on your station for the best news, talk, and sports. News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center over there on the controls doing a fabulous job, as always, making sure we are all hooked up for our good interviews we conduct on WKOK Sunrise. On the news line with us now, Michael Powell is here. We're meeting for the first time. He's Lycoming County's. I'm going to call you the new forestry and wildlife educator. Is that an okay title, Michael?
Yeah, no, that's okay. You can call me Mike. Yeah, I mean, I've been with Penn State for 24 years, but yeah, 4 months with extension now.
There you go. Okay, yeah, we remember you as a researcher up on main campus helping with the forestry department up there, and inspiring young people was sort of part of your mindset, as I recall. Is that right?
Yep, no, it was a great time. You know, some things changing in the world up there, and luckily Extension had some openings, and I was fortunate enough to move over. It's doing the same things that I was doing, just now it's all for the good of the cause for Extension.
Fantastic. Okay, well, welcome on board, and thanks for continuing the outreach. Now you're doing some education for the whole Central Susquehanna Valley. You're based out of Lycoming County, forestry and wildlife educator with Penn State Extension, and we're going to talk about sort of all things forestry here. So if I'm talking about Penn State Extension and forestry, explain the kind of services and opportunities and education that Penn State has for folks who either have a woodlot or are interested in just the great outdoors and forests.
Sure, we're a resource we are able to put out the what's being conducted as research at the university to the public, and bring it down to their level so that they understand basically what's going on. You know, sometimes at that level, research is way above even our heads, and takes a few people to be able to break it down. And but yeah, if they have issues, I mean, I've gotten lots of calls this spring about what's wrong with their trees, and that's not always for me. That's they're looking for help, and I don't mind being able to try to help them, because they're trying to get answers. And but certainly, you know, from, you know, how to manage your property. You know, I always use the analogy of forestry is like a garden, and sometimes we got to go in and do some weeding in there. It depends on what your goals are as the landowner. It's not about a goal for me. That's first and foremost. I always say to the landowners, you know, what is it that they want to accomplish? And so, but we're a resource. It's been around a long time. My wife actually has letters from her great-grandmother to Extension for help back in the 30s when she was needing some of that, with, you know, for anything and everything is what Extension covers.
Well, that's crazy. Fantastic. Yeah, hold on to that. Well, let's answer the question you asked. What's wrong with my trees? What's going on out there in the forest today and woodlots that would impact trees that you'll have answers about?
Well, yeah, I mean, biggest thing is insects are invasives. We've spotted lanternfly certainly is really getting a lot of folks' attention as we're getting more and more counties in quarantined areas. Haven't seen it in my neck of the woods, but certainly I've seen them down in the southeast, and it's hard to say yet what's going to happen there. The big concern a lot of folks having are with spongy moths. But this weather, you know, everybody can be a little bit shell-shocked about, you know, here it is May and we should be thinking that spring, and, you know, we've already been spoiled, but this should help a little bit along with spraying to knock back the spongy moth from having a major outbreak where we're having a lot of defoliation.
And what about the spongy moth? We used to call them gypsy moths. Is this what should we do if we see a tree that appears to be infected? If folks own a woodlot, they can take action?
Well, it's kind of tough because it's really the best way to treat them is aerial spray. So you need to get a spray into the foliage. And monitoring it is key. That mean you can go out, and it's labor intensive, and in the daytime they'll generally, the caterpillars will come down lower to the ground. There's some different things you can do to try to capture them at the ground level. maybe harsh as it sounds, just killing them right there is the best thing can be done too. So, but yeah, at that point, if they're already that established, it's and depending on their size, I mean, getting it sprayed this late in the season, because they've already been spraying, it might be tough. So you're going to have to ride it out for this year.
Finish out your illustration talking about gardening and weeding. What should someone with a woodlot do to their plot of land with trees and forest?
Well, the best thing would be to either reach out to us as an extension or your service forester. Every county has a service forester through the Bureau of Forestry. It's free of charge. And it's a free consultation. We can walk around and you can we can point out, certainly if they're not up to tune with what's what species are there, what species are, you know, could be thinned out to promote. Again, it's their objectives. What is it they're looking to try to accomplish with their land? Certainly invasives, talking about those invasive plants. And really something to take home is if you're going to be looking to do planting here in the spring, make sure the plants that you're getting are natives. You know, a lot of times, you know, you can buy stuff and we don't know truthfully what the outcome is going to be. You know, they look great. They're going to have fall colors, but in reality, they become a nuisance, like Japanese barberry. I mean, it's got great color in the fall, but boy, it's taken over our woods and other things like that.
Any other invasive plants out there in the woods that you're talking about? You know, we talk about the Japanese knotweed that's on the riverbanks and so on. That's taken over. Is there something in the forest taken over?
Well, yeah, the barberry, the autumn olive, Japanese stiltgrass. Those are some of our big ones right now. Certainly, knotweed is as well. But those are the big three right now, four counting knotweed.
All right, so we can seek more information if we're concerned about those. You've had multiple opportunities to talk to young people and inspire careers. What careers in the forest do you say exist out there?
Well, right now, it's a great opportunity for anybody who's looking to get into natural resources. Everybody's looking. And so, you know, from being a forester to being a natural resource specialist with the county level, certainly the Bureau of Forestry, State Game Commission, they're all hiring not just foresters, but interns to work with the management at multiple levels there. And then even into the federal system with the U.S. Forest Service and others like that.
Extension agency gets involved in trying to inspire young people. What I think their phrase is, no child left indoors, so they can
sure.
get out.
Sure.
Do you get involved in that as an educator yourself, or is that elsewhere within Extension trying to inspire young people?
Well, that's 4-H, and I've worked around 4-H. I haven't worked much with them yet. While I was at the university, I ran a youth program called Conservation Leadership School for 18 years for kids 14 to 18. And so very similar to 4-H programs. So, yeah, but certainly, this past weekend I was helping at a scout function, teaching scouts forestry and a little bit of animal science as well.
All right. Well, fantastic. Yeah, we have spoken to some of the 4-H educators, and hopefully they've gotten the message out that you don't have to be a farmer to be in 4-H. You just have to have a love for some of those endeavors. We see you teaching safety from time to time. Where is that? Chainsaw safety and other forestry safety? How to explain how that works?
Yeah, so chainsaw safety, I never would have thought that was going to be my bread and butter, but boy, it's really taken off. And so I do it statewide. This week I'm actually not traveling, but last week I was all the way out in Armstrong, and next week I'll be in Mercer, and I've been down in Cumberland. So it's really, the saw is a great tool, but you know, having a little bit of understanding with them, because they can create a lot of change in your life and the quality of life for you and your family if you're not careful with it. And I worked as a logger and had this opportunity to pick up doing trainings with it, and I try to, every time I read about a chainsaw accident, I always think if they just had some safety training, maybe they'd still be with us or wouldn't have been injured as badly as they were.
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous, potentially dangerous tool, misused or uninformed. It's somewhat surprising that maybe there isn't more education out there. Are you going to have any education on chainsaw safety in Snyder, Union, Northumberland, or Montour County coming up that you have scheduled?
Nothing scheduled yet, but certainly looking to. Absolutely. Hopefully we can, I'm looking to see who I can work with on this, landowner groups, but also through extension to offer it, because it's an opportunity, especially, I'm not sure everyone cuts much during the summer months. Seems like it really ramps up towards the fall. I do like to get my firewood done as early as possible, so I have the time to enjoy. But, I'm going to look to try to get something on the books here soon.
All right. We did an interview, back maybe 2000 or so, with a man named Blair Carbaugh. Are you familiar with him? Super familiar with chestnut trees, and said they were threatened in Pennsylvania. Do we still have some chestnut trees? Is that have they survived?
Are we talking American chestnut? Because, that tree had succumbed to a blight back in the 40s.
Well, whatever chestnut trees were left, I know he still was active in a chestnut tree society. So,
sure, yeah, no, they are trying to revive them. They're trying to crossbreed them with the Chinese chestnut just to get the gene that makes them blight resistant. And it is a very majestic tree. I was fortunate enough to see some out in Michigan. They thought that the air currents coming off the lake had kept the blight away from them, and two of us could not reach around those trees. And I'm 6'5", so I've got a wingspan, and like I said, two of us couldn't reach around
so that's
these
good.
Trees. Everything on the ground was chestnut, so it was very majestic. But yeah, I've worked a little bit with the American Chestnut Foundation. They've been working on this to try to get this tree back into our, it was the most dominant tree species we had at the time before the blight.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we'll pay attention to their resurgence as well. Mike, thank you so much for all your information and your help. We look forward to publicizing the fact that you're doing some education down in this immediate area. You're certainly busy in Lycoming County and statewide. Thanks for all you're doing, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Much appreciated. All right. That is Mike Powell. He's Lycoming County's forestry and wildlife educator. You can link to him and other forestry educators at PennStatePSU.edu. Just type in extension, and that'll get you connected in the extension website. You can get more forestry education. Maybe you have a woodlot. You're looking for more information. Penn State Education and Penn State Extension there for you.